The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples left for the villages round Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he put this question to his disciples: Who do people say I am? And they told him, John the Baptist, they said, others Elijah, others again one of the prophets. But you, he asked, who do you say I am? Peter spoke up and said to him, you are the Christ. And he gave them strict orders not to tell anyone about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man was destined to suffer grievously, to be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes, and to be put to death, and after 3 days to rise again. And he said all this quite openly. Then, taking him aside, Peter started to remonstrate with him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said to him, Get behind me, Satan, because the way you think is not God's way, but man's. He called the people and his disciples to him, said, If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross and follow me. For anyone who wants to save his life will lose it. But anyone who loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. The Gospel of the Lord. The Crown and Cushion is a pub in Eaton High Street. But it's one of those names that I've always remembered, and it seems to sum up what a lot of British people think about heaven and the eternal life. Not much to do or to worry about, or even to get there, but the assurance of an easy life, a crown of glory, lying on the cushion and the crown on your head. But that's not the way Jesus lays out his way for his followers. In the Gospel today, we hear that strange question, a question that was brought out in our first sessions of the Faith DVDs that we've been looking at the last two Tuesdays, which I can recommend to you. And it's that, who do people say I am? Now, that's not the sort of question we usually ask. We might ask, what are people saying about me? Do they like or dislike us? Or do they like what we do? Or what do they think of us? But we don't usually say, who do you say I am? But Jesus' question is exactly that. Who are the people saying that I am? Because obviously people were talking about him as he'd come among them. And of course the answers we've heard he received were, some think you're John the Baptist, other think you're Elijah, one of the other prophets. And then Peter makes that great affirmation, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. The Anointed One. That's the first thing to remember, the Christ. Because every one of us is an Anointed One. Because from our baptism onwards, we were anointed in that baptism. And then in our confirmation, anointed with that sacred chrism. As it were, on our forehead, where the crown would be. A reminder that that's our aspiration, not the cushion, but the crown. Crown of eternal life. And our baptism, confirmation, those great moments in our lives are actually just that, great moments. Of course, for most of us, when we were baptized, we knew hardly anything, if anything, of it at all, because we were so young. But of course, people that baptize when they're older, of course, it is a bit different. But in those moments, we can seem to be on a bit of a high on the mountaintop with a clear view and excited moments when all is revealed and we seem to understand. That's what we hope when we bring babies for baptism or adults for baptism, when we come for confirmation. We know Jesus. We acknowledge him. You are the Christ, the Messiah. But then often what happens in life is exactly what happens, and Mark always in a hurry, tries to bring it back to reality, almost as it were from the peak of the great moment of baptism confirmation down to the dark valley of everyday life, because Jesus begins to speak about his destiny of suffering and death. Mark's Gospel, very much like Luke's, the ministry falls into two parts. He's in Galilee, and he's teaching, and he's performing the miracles, leading up to what we've just heard today, Caesarea Philippi, up at the top of the Holy Land there, you are the Christ. And then the second half is the road to Jerusalem. In St. Luke, he said he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Mark doesn't do that, but nevertheless, it is exactly what happens. And it's quite interesting. Most of the early part of Mark is saying to them, don't be saying who I am. Don't tell everybody I'm the Messiah. Now he says quite openly the way that he is to go. And so the Christian, that's the only way we can walk with the Lord. That's what he says to us. If you wish to be a follower of mine, this is the way. That way to Jerusalem and Calvary. And that certainly isn't a way of lolling about on your cushion. Back to our baptism. The first sign we receive in baptism is the sign of the cross. Before anything else, the welcome, what name have you given your child? I sign you with the sign of the cross. And in a way, that's the way for all the baptized to walk. And it's why in our churches, all around, the way that you are, where you are, is the way of the cross. A reminder of that. Picked up, of course, in that first reading, that all those bits of the suffering servants of Isaiah, four songs that we get in Holy Week, it's today linked with that prediction of the passion of Jesus. Because it's saying this is an essential of the Christian life, suffering. Isaiah sees that servant as being the one who, as it were, takes on behalf of everyone else the sufferings, and that's what we believe in Jesus. But Jesus says, if you wish to be a follower of mine, you've got to come that way. And his vindication, which is the word used in Isaiah, but later we term that the resurrection, an essential part of the message. And note the disposition of the servant, an open ear, no resistance, no refusal or turning away, offering his whole life to be beaten, insulted, spat on, and see alongside that his faith, the Lord comes to my help, untouched by the insults. There's tension, as it were, in that servant as he waits for the help of the Lord. And it also says he could appear hard, set like flint, unmoving, untouched. Sometimes we've got to think, is that for us? Yes, that can be the way we have to be with our faith in the face of opposition. Or it may be that as a collective group, the Church of God has to be that in the midst of hardship, misunderstanding, oppression, insult. That's what's happening to many, many Christians around the world. The Holy Father is in Lebanon, as you probably know, and we have a Lebanese family that were there at Hale last night, and I was speaking to them, a young family, two little children, but he was saying about the Pope being there, and the greatest thing is if he gets back safely to Rome, which is due back there today. But they were saying he goes there with almost a strengthening of faith for all the Christians, not just in Lebanon, but in the Holy Land, in Jordan, in Syria, in all that upheaval that's going on. And of course we know because of this film that's come out recently, the embassies all around the Muslim world been attacked and bombed, but it brings the Christians into all that as well, as you know. That's what the Lord said. And it's in those times they need, we need, to hear that suffering servant song. That's the way the Lord sets out before us. Because in a sense, we do suffer. We know within our own families, we could always think of how hard it can be to proclaim the truth of our faith. And that's why I put before you the image I'm always putting before you, because it's the one the Lord puts before us. Look at the cross. See constantly that upright, the upright of the cross that's saying, I want my way, that's mine, I'm going to do what I want for me. And then as you're looking at that, you see that the Lord crosses it out. And in a way, that's what Jesus is saying every day. If we're followers his, that's what we've got to do. You see, so often you hear people, we still talk about it, the cross of suffering. It is. But the cross of suffering is every day. Every morning when you wake up, it's got to be thy kingdom come, thy will, Lord, be done. It's trying to do the Lord's will. That's the hard part. And that's why it's the cross put before us. Renouncing our own selfish ways. He said, if you come after me, you must renounce our selfish ways and do the will of the Father, which is what he did. But the other bit, and it links with our second reading from James, how the whole thing hangs together, is speaking about faith and good works. If we've got that faith takes us looking up to God. And as we're going up to God, the arms open out to others. So the whole thing hangs together, and it hangs together on the cross. That's no cushion, but without the cross, there's no crown. But walking with the Lord, the way of the cross, that leads to the crown of eternal life.